Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. Join Dave and his guests now as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
From Los Angeles, can you all hear me okay?
Yeah.
From Los Angeles and Manhattan, the Big Apple.
No.
Welcome.
Bye, Ryle.
A big LA welcome and a Big Apple welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, along with Adrian Gruberg. And we're coming to you live and on demand 24/7 on 14 global and audio video platforms, including Facebook Live, iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Vimeo. What? Stitcher, Blog Talk, Mixcloud, Listen Notes, Blueberry, Player, FM, Podcast.com, VIP Internet Radio. And
stopping
also,
this.
We're Facebook Live, you know. Okay. And also at CaregiverDave.com, voted number 2 of the top 6 best caregiver podcasts in 2017. And we have an exciting show planned for you today with my lovely co-host, Adrian, who's already said hello, of the caregiver space, Adrian Gruberg. And today, Adrian and I will be interviewing Carol Marek, founder of the Elder Orphan Facebook group and has become the authority in the Aging Alone. I didn't even know there was a group called Aging Alone, but it makes sense. And solo aging. And I didn't know there was a solo aging group, but that makes sense too. The population of elders who just find themselves getting older and being alone. And I even put a little poll on the Facebook Live page. Do you worry about growing older and being alone? And your two answers that you can pick from is one, yes, terrified, or two, no, I'm not worried about it. I have people who will take care of me. So it'll be interesting to see how those numbers come out. Carol and her sisters helped their parents with elder care concerns. Her father lived with Alzheimer's disease, and her mother developed a chronic heart condition. So we're talking caregiver here. As they passed, she questioned, who will do all that for moi? Yeah, that's a big question. Carol has no spouse, partner, or children to count on. You know, I know somebody else who doesn't have a spouse, partner, or children to count on. Oh, well, you have a partner, Adrian.
I have a partner, but he's only a part-time partner.
Part-time partner, okay.
Yeah, he's, right, bi-coastal.
Yep. So before we get started, I want to take this moment and thank my last 2 weeks' guests, because I think I didn't do it properly last week. The first is the author, Amy Medling, Healing PCOS, affecting roughly 5 to 15% of women worldwide. And the second is yours truly, Dave and Adrian, and our call-in guest, Helen Frazee. And we were just answering the 5 top complaints that caregivers make. And it's a great show. You can listen to that show on CaregiverDave.com or any of those other platforms that I mentioned earlier. You know, SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, all that stuff. All right, enough of that. Carol Marek, founder of Elder Orphan Facebook Group. Of the Elder Orphan Facebook group. Welcome to the show. Are you there? Oh, good. Talk as loud as you can now. You're going to be yelling at us.
Okay, thank you. Thank you both for having me today. I appreciate it. It's a big issue, solo aging.
Yes,
it is a big issue. That's something that we all have in common, right? Democrats, Republicans, rich and poor, conservatives, liberals, we're all getting older.
If and we're lucky.
I think the lucky ones go sooner. I don't know.
Well,
only the good die young. Who said that? Elvis was so, well, maybe not Elvis, but.
That was Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, Billy.
But, you know, we've lost so many young people, you know, Marilyn Monroe, so many young actors, and we will never know what they look like to get a double chin and overweight and bald and and wrinkles, because they just kind of died young. And okay, enough of that. Carol, why don't you take a minute?
Forever young.
Forever young. They should make a movie out of that. Why don't you take a minute or two and introduce yourself? I like to ask my guests, just who is Carol Merrick? Merrick, and why was she put on this earth?
Oh, that's a very good question. But anyway, I'm Carol Marock, and
Marock.
Okay. I am a former family caregiver for both my parents, and I have I've been writing for the web, so I'm an editor at SeniorCare.com, and been writing about caregiving issues for the last 12 years.
Really?
And since
then, I have my focus now is aging alone. And that's when I created launched the Facebook group. It's a closed group. It's for people who are 55 and older living in the community with little to no support from other family members and who feel or who have a risk of becoming isolated and socially disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who I am. The group launched about 2.5 years ago, and we're steadily growing.
So what is the name of your Facebook group? Do I like it yet? I want to share it on your page, the Facebook Live. So let's see. Share to a copy link.
Elder Orphan Facebook group. And it's not a page. It's a closed group.
Oh, so you have to approve me first.
That's right.
Okay. So maybe during the break you can
I hope you'll approve me.
Me too. Maybe during the break you can just go to my page, Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver. Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, on Facebook, and then just copy the link and then share it on your page, and then they can hear this like a simulcast.
Oh, sure.
Wouldn't that be nice? I would ask you to do it now, but I don't want to distract you, because not many people can do two or three things at one time. I can't chew gum and talk at the same time. But so tell me, what was caregiving like for you? Because you are a veteran. You're like one of us, and everyone handles it differently. Was it hard in the beginning, and how long did it take before you burned out, if you ever did burn out? And how did you get it all together?
Well, fortunately for me, I never did. Well, I can't say I might have gotten tired occasionally. It was my two sisters that probably burned out before I did. But because they're older than me, and there were three of us, so we were able to help one another out. I was still working full time when my parents needed help. So what was most frustrating for me was not being able to be near them in terms of like next door. You know, because I was
the long distance. You were the long distance one.
Yeah.
And the baby also.
That's right.
Yeah, those babies get away with murder, I tell you.
I know. That's what my sisters tell me all the time.
Yeah, I'm the baby too. But somehow I didn't get away with murder. The older ones did. But my mother had dementia, and she died about 3 years ago. But she struggled with it for about 10 years. And my siblings were good. My sister and I probably did about half of the work. My brother, because he's so far away, you know, he had the privilege of just dropping in when he could.
Oh, sure.
And that's I'll say about that.
Well, my sisters were a constant reminder. Carol, we need your help. So I didn't get away with too much.
Was she at home? Were they at home?
Yes. They were both living at home at the time. But when my mom passed, because she died before my dad, and he really, once she was gone, he became very lonely, and his Alzheimer's then became full-blown, basically.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, so it was really hard.
It's a great topic that you've, you know, latched on to. Obviously, your parents weren't alone. They had you and your sisters. So is that how you started thinking about this? Because you wondered, because you have no children and you don't have a partner, and, gee, who's going to do this for me?
Here you go. Bingo.
You're just going to have to go out and find a boyfriend like Adrian did, I guess.
you never know.
You're still very attractive. You can find some fish in the sea.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I'm a little hesitant.
Jump in. The water's fine.
Yeah, I mean,
know. I guess that's my nature.
Was it the day after your husband died, she went on Match.com or something, or shortly thereafter?
4 days.
4 days. She took a whole
Adrian
4 days.
Did.
Yeah, but yeah, she wasn't serious. Just for, you know, fun and jokes and
giggles.
Yeah.
Why not? Where you met your boyfriend?
No, I met him on Our Time.
Another
because
site.
I was older than the 32-year-olds who were hitting on me, so I really didn't. I didn't feel like supporting a gigolo. So.
Wow! That's there's funny. Sites out there for age groups. I guess I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
So see, and I have to ask you: have you ever tried a dating site?
I did.
True confessions here.
Yes, Match.com.
Okay, well, maybe we'll try one that Adrian had success
Our in. Time.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Maybe. You know, it's maybe. not too old to find romance. You know, I used to sing at the senior center in my city, and you'd be surprised, these seniors, you know, many of them are widowers
and widows.
They're very active, and I felt like I was in junior high with these.
Yeah, the flirts.
And then they get in fights. You know, he's my boyfriend. What are you looking at him for? You know.
Oh yeah, well, you know that.
Sometimes
goes
you get
on
a cat fight on the lunchroom floor there.
Yeah, that happens all the time, even at age 14.
Yeah.
All right. Well, enough of your love life. Let's move on to something else.
Yeah, not much to say there.
So, how difficult was it for you to continue working full time and being away from your parents? Because you were a long distance caregiver. Fortunately, you had how often did you feel obligated to hop on a plane? Was it far enough that you needed to be on a plane to get there, or could you drive?
No. Well, I was at the time initially. I was living in San Diego. And my parents were in Texas, and that was the reason I moved from Texas, from California to Texas.
I see.
Was to help out my parents. Yeah,
And you're still there.
And I'm still here.
So how close were you once you moved to Texas?
I lived in Austin, and my folks lived near Waco. So it was about 120 miles away.
Okay. Far enough, but not too far.
Yeah, well, you know, I wish it would have been closer, quite frankly, because I worried about them, and I love them. I wanted to be near them.
Yeah.
I mean, right? What's the point of moving all the way from San Diego if I can't be near them, right? But I...
Yeah. Now, tell me again
How close are your sisters?
Yeah, my sisters both live near them, so that helps
a
lot. Mm-hmm.
So what was your, if you told me, forgive me, but what was your parents' disability, both of them?
Dad had Alzheimer's and mom with chronic or congestive heart failure.
Wow. And who died first?
Mom.
And your father is still alive, or he's gone also?
No, he passed away 4 years ago. So they are both gone now, over 10 years.
So how are your sisters doing now that they're no longer a caregiver? Did they go through some, obviously they were sad to lose their parents, but was part of them happy that, you know, there's no more suffering? And do they feel free, like they've been let out of prison? I mean, what kind of feelings were they going through?
Yeah. Especially when my dad passed. It was a relief. because we had to move my dad to a nursing home, and that was not a good experience, especially for him.
I'm doing that with my mother-in-law now. You know, she has dementia but is in denial about it. And she's been in her home all by herself all this time, and she keeps the caregivers keep quitting because she keeps accusing them of stealing her everything. And so now we've come down to the wire, and it's time. And one moment she'll be accepting of it, the next moment she said, "I'm not moving." And it's just really stressful on all of us, including her son, who flew from Minnesota, who has a prosthetic leg. I mean, the guy needs a caregiver himself, and he's hobbling around trying to take care of the needs here. I do what I can, but she doesn't like me very much because she thinks I'm trying to drive her crazy and steal her house.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's hard.
She kind of always felt that way, come to think of it.
Well, you know, my dad felt that way too. I mean, he thought that the kids wanted the house, right? I mean, and I think that's a normal process, don't you?
I think so.
I
think with people with Alzheimer's and dementia, when the paranoia really sets in, it's a common thing. Yeah. Have you experienced it?
They don't realize that the house is not worth anything, you know?
Yeah, we did with my dad. Absolutely. Yeah, dad was, you know, feeling like we were trying to get rid of him and to, you know, take over his house and his bank accounts and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
How old was he?
89.
Mm. Yeah, my mother-in-law is 94. So what advice can you give me to make this process a little easier? Because we're actually going through it right now as you speak.
Just keep following your gut. And
yeah, because logic doesn't work, you know. But
not with her, it won't. No.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you have to live with guilt or live with a lot of questioning of your of whether you're doing the right thing or not.
Yeah.
So you just have to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And because you know what's best for her. I mean, you know the situation, right?
Yep. We know what's best for her.
Oh, yeah, because my dad, I mean, he could not take care of himself. And it was very hard for my sister to take care of him.
Yeah.
Did you have to make decisions like, wow, it would really be nice to have a single room as opposed to sharing a room, but that's more money. And it would be nice to be on the patio with a door, but that's more money. And trying to determine what you can afford, but what's good enough for her. And, you know, do we go into debt to try to, you know, make this happen for her? Did you have to deal with any of those issues?
Yes. As a matter of fact, my dad shared a room because of the price, right?
Mm.
Because of the expenses. However, he did not get along because he was so gruff and so frustrated and angry about feeling like he was forced to move there, that it was a hard time on even his roommates.
Yes.
However, I think they were all just disgruntled because nursing homes are such a pain in the butt. I mean, they're not
pleasant. It's hard to find a good one.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
finding a needle in a haystack.
Yes.
So did they ever ask him to leave because he was so disgruntled?
Yes. Yes.
So did he leave?
No, we hired an elder law attorney.
Really? How did they keep him in?
Yeah. And then brought in the ombudsman from, you know, the local area agency. And they voted in favor of my dad to stay there. I mean, he was in the last stages of Alzheimer's, for crying out loud. You can't move him. And come to find out, he passed, you know, 6 months later.
Yeah.
Mm. It was a mess. It's just a mess.
Wow. No, I can understand.
How many years was he in a residence?
Two years.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Dave.
I can understand, you know, how they would be concerned that he's making the roommate miserable. Did they try, like, moving him to different roommates? Maybe.
Yes.
How many?
So when they finally moved him to the A wing, which is the Alzheimer's wing, which is what we wanted.
Which is where he belonged, yeah.
He settled in. They had a different staff. It was much more conducive to, you know, to his needs, and he felt much more comfortable there.
Yeah, and that's another thing. When you find a facility, you want one that has a wing where they can, you know, not have to move again, just kind of go down the hallway.
That's right. And
why didn't they move him sooner?
I don't know.
Because it's more expensive, that's why.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. That's right. There you go.
Yes, it could be anywhere from $500 to $1,000 a month more by going into that wing. And, so, you know, we're looking at some places that say if we move him there, then there's no extra cost, and then the other places will charge you extra.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these decisions to make. So it sounds like it's over. And you're glad it's over, and you're happy for him. He moved on. He's out of his pain, out of his suffering. I know that's how my mother felt. And so, you know, we made sure that she had a an advance directive so that when the day came that she was having trouble swallowing, they immediately, you know, I showed them the directive. And I says, don't put any tubes down her mouth. Don't give her any nutrition.
Right.
And it went very quickly, maybe 2 or 3 days, and of course, because she wasn't getting any liquid or anything, she developed a bladder infection, which was painful.
Yes.
So I did let them give her antibiotics to try to clear that up, you know. And so it was great. We all had our time to say goodbye, and it was just great.
What an awful way to go, though.
Yeah, I told my kids if I ever get like that, you know, I showed them where the guns are to make it look like an accident.
Oh, I'm
Dad was just cleaning his gun. I don't know. Wipe the prints off. Oh, did I just say that out loud? Okay. Let's take a break because we have a lot to cover, and I want to make sure that we get it all in there. So we'll be right back. Don't go away.
David Nassani.
Best-selling author Dave Nassani.
Dave Nassani.
Dave Nassani is a best-selling author. Where is the caregiver for the caregiver? That is where Dave Nassani comes in.
Mr. Dave Nassani.
Thank you. So you're needed.
I am needed.
You are very much needed.
I am
needed.
Kind
of one of a kind, right?
The woman I loved had suffered a massive stroke. Left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on the right side.
Well, the first mistake the caregivers make is they don't know how to put their needs first.
Now, the airlines tell us every time we go on an airplane that an oxygen mask will fall. Put your mask on first before you help your loved one with their mask.
Right.
For the next 2 years, our lives had become a living hell. And then there came a point where I finally had to just scream. I says, I can't take this anymore.
Yeah. The second mistake that caregivers often make is they don't know how to ask for help. Now, everyone has one of these. Mm-hmm. It's called a cell phone. You turn it on, you punch in the number, and you talk. Hello, Mom. I need help. Grandma's driving me crazy.
I realize there's so many other caregivers out there who are suffering, who are going through tremendous pain and feeling lost and alone. And I wanted to help them triumph over that pain. I didn't want them to give up like I almost gave up.
It's called Sanford and Son, right?
Right.
He is undeserved guilt.
Show.
It went something like this. Oh, it's a big one. No, son, really, it's a big one. Elizabeth, I'm coming to meet you, honey.
She's amazing to watch. She makes us normal people look like whiners and complainers. I mean, she's my hero. First of all, when someone is just wired like a caregiver, you know, they're caring and they're giving, and they give and give and give, but unfortunately they give until they burn themselves out. Mm-hmm. There's nothing left to give.
Yeah.
So now I host a popular iTunes podcast, The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show, and I'm a best-selling author to my third book. It's My Life 2, Reclaim Your Caregiver Sanity. I've been on my national book and media tour all across the country, just being on morning shows just like this one.
Yeah.
I even shared the stage with Suzanne Summers at Harvard. Mm-hmm. Basically, I'm sharing my message, how to prevent your loved one's illness or disease from actually killing you.
Come and join our community of caregivers. Let us love on you. Let us support you.
Dave is an amazing man. I was in tears when I heard his story. He spoke from his heart.
Dave is really my idol because he created something for caretakers and I was a caretaker for my father. Jeez, it's already 15 years and I'm still crying.
Every caregiver's life is a love story. Let me help you make that love story one of hope and triumph. Thank you very much.
Yeah! And we are back with Carol Marek and Adrian Gruberg. And Carol is telling us how she got into being passionate about the aging community and the problem of those that don't have anybody, aging alone, and the solo aging population. I've never heard it put in those terms before, but I don't think anybody's talking about this. Is anyone else talking about this, Carol, besides you, exclusively?
Well, yes. I mean, there are other individuals who talk about solo aging. Yes, but what got my attention is when Dr. Maria Carney, who is a geriatrician up in New York, actually on Long Island, she's a research scientist and geriatrician, and she because she works with the elderly, she did a research project on people who have a high risk of becoming elder orphans. So that's what got my attention, and that's why I'm calling the group Elder Orphans, is because of her. And so it's more of a medical term. However, mm-hmm. there are many of us who are aging alone. According to the U.S. Census back in 2010, 27% of the people 65 and older live alone. And that's 20.
I was going to ask you that, what the percentage was. That's a lot.
And it's growing naturally.
Yeah. You might not start out alone.
You might end up that way.
I mean, I lost my husband, and then I was alone. So
you don't have children?
No children. It's a group that's constantly changing. Yeah. No children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a topic that I'm particularly interested in. I own the name Solo Seniors for the same reason.
Oh.
Because where there are an awful lot of us who chose to go the route where we followed our career goals, and all of a sudden we thought, oops, I forgot to have a kid. But that's not what I didn't intend to. But there are, you know, there were people who started too late. And there are plenty of people who were divorced and widowed who were all alone.
Yes.
Your husband wasn't married before, right, Adrian?
He was married for 11 months.
Oh, no kids.
No kids.
Yeah.
Just him. He was the kid.
Yeah.
Well, gosh, you know, I think about that. And is there anything that anyone has done, any solution that, you know, maybe coming up with a bank of people whose hearts are, you know, geared toward caring for seniors where they can, now when a caregiver needs somebody, they can go to care.com or places like that, or other places. I can't remember the name of the one I'm thinking about, Care for Mom or something like that. Are there special places that an elder person can request care, and they've got just a whole bunch of people who their passion is caring for seniors? Because I know a lot of people who, if they had their druthers, they'd rather care for a senior because they love just, you know, gleaning the wisdom from them and you know, bringing them back to life. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to nursing homes and a lot of these people are just, you know,
sure.
Lights are home, nobody's home. They're staring at the walls because that's where they put the wheelchair in the hallway, staring at the wall. And a lot of these places, not a lot of them, but more of them need to do it, is bring in, you know, children from a daycare or kindergarten. And you see these people that were previously comatose practically just come to life and light up. Oh, come here, honey, you know, because maybe they think it's their grandkid or whatever, or their child. But there needs to be more programs. And that's I was going to tell you before when you were picking a facility for your loved one, you know, you'd want to investigate. We're going through that now. We don't like to show up when they're expecting us. We just kind of show up. And that way we can see what really happened. See if they pass the sniff test, you know, take a good whiff. And then go down the hallway, you know, in the middle of the day and see what they're doing with all these people in wheelchairs. Are they just staring at the walls or do they have some activities going on, you know, Wii games or bingo or you know, not just putting them in front of a television set, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know. Yeah.
Did your parents happen to have any kind of extended care policies or
long-term care?
You know,
No, they did not.
5% of the population, Adrian, has long-term care. Is that amazing? We all have auto insurance.
That's thank God I have it.
And I have it too.
Being
so we're
being
unusual.
Alone, I feel I have to have it.
Yeah.
But not everybody can afford it.
Yeah, well, that's why you got to get it in your 30s, not your 30s, your late 40s,
late 40s,
50s.
Yeah, right.
You know, if you're into 60s, you're getting up there.
Tough.
Yeah. And it doesn't. Mine only went up one time this year. Now I hope that continues because I've been paying on it for over 10 years, and it never went over the $110 a month. Yeah, it's cheap. Now
you're
it's like
lucky.
$135. Well, I bought it when I was 49. And
oh, I wanted it for my 50th birthday, but Steve said no.
Steve said no. Well, where is
Steve
he now?
Steve said no. So when he died, I immediately called the broker.
You should have bought one for him instead.
Well,
yeah.
So tell us about your Facebook group. How did you start it? Who's in there? What are you doing there?
Yeah.
And what's going on?
Well, it started in 2016, and like I say, I've really promoted it via press releases, articles, so it's gotten a lot of media attention. So fortunately, I've been interviewed a lot, New York Times, Washington Post, AARP.
Wow.
So we've gained a lot of recognition, and that's where a lot of the members come. I mean, that's where they come from, right? Reading articles in the paper.
How did you get on those newspapers? I mean, even I haven't been on those.
Well, I have
give me
this
some advice.
I have this fabulous digital mentor.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And he taught me how to do everything, how to become more visible online.
Uh-huh.
It's just building your authority, right? And of course, the topic is elder orphans. I mean, come on, that's pretty serious.
That's
so.
A great name. Did you come up with that?
Yeah. Dr. Maria Carney did. Well, no, not even she didn't. Another geriatrician 30 years ago came up with the term elder orphans.
Did you ever check to see if the domain was available?
No, it's not. It's not. Yeah. So I'm writing a book now. But you asked me, well, I hope my book gets, you know, will be published in the next few year or so. But the things that we discuss are who are we going to get to give care to us? You know, who will step in? For us, who should we select as a healthcare proxy?
Right.
You know, all of the legal documentations. Who should we select since we don't have family? A lot of us don't have family. Some of us have brothers, you know, siblings, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And other topics like how do we get a ride to medical treatments?
Right.
Who will check in on us? If we have, if we're in the hospital, if we, you know, if our friends can't make it, who can come in and be our patient advocate, so to speak? And how should you, I mean, what is a patient advocate and how should you advocate for yourself? So these are, you know, some of the issues. We also have no one to call. Well, as a matter of fact, we just did a academic survey in the group this past spring. A PhD candidate here at the University of Texas at Arlington did her her dissertation. And so she asked, her questions really, were around medical health, all the decisions, affordable housing, and things of that nature. And it was some really quite astonishing data that was revealed. Like no one to count on, no one to call if you have a medical crisis, which happened to me just 2 weeks ago, and I'm still living with it. I badly cut my finger in a meat grinder, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And who do I call? So what do I fortunately, I have intentionally moved to a high rise and have met a lot of my neighbors. So I
right. Good idea.
And I'm
community,
neighbors.
Yeah. That's the whole concept of independent living and assisted living.
Yeah, exactly.
Do your sisters have children?
One does, one does not.
So
Are you close with them? Him?
Yes.
Her?
Yes. Yes.
Good.
Do you feel they'll be there for you at all?
Well, yes, of course. However, they're older than I am.
They're older than you?
Yes.
So are you going to be there for them?
I am more there for them than they are for me. Yeah. Really.
Well,
my oldest sister is 75. My other sister is 72. So
that's right. She's a baby.
Yeah, I don't want to rely on them.
And their children? Will they kick in? Do you think?
No, doubtful.
No. Okay.
Doubtful. Not the way.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Today.
I wouldn't expect. If it happened, I would be very touched, but I don't count on it.
No.
I have great kids, and I'm not expecting it. You know, hopefully they're not listening to that.
I would never expect my nieces and nephews.
I wouldn't want them to.
Right. No.
So they all know I have long-term care. And, you know, I checked GoDaddy for you, and elderorphan.care and elderorphans.care are both available if you are interested.
That's, okay.
That could work.
Yes, it could.
It could.
Thank you.
No
you know,
problem.
It's interesting because Facebook has approached me to create a subscription group. So we'll see if my group is selected to become a subscription group, membership group. I mean, my group, but I would just set up a new group.
How does that work?
Would you set up a group within the group? Is that what they're offering?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
How does that work?
It means that somebody would go to your page and have the option to get to a special section that has special stuff.
That's right. Exactly.
So,
like this, like interviews and live content.
Privileges.
They have to approach you. You can't approach them.
Who?
Facebook.
Well, Facebook, they approach you, I guess. They approach me, and I guess they're approaching others because they want. So, anyway.
Have they ever approached you, Adrian?
Corey, yes.
Yep. I guess I never got that memo.
Well, the thing is, I would definitely suggest that you try and contact them, Dave, if it's something that you're interested in. Because you do have.
It is impossible to contact Facebook, as you know. There's no live human being on the other end.
It's not impossible. It's
well,
not.
You could contact Adrian's contact. Corey, did you say?
No, well, Corey works for Adrian.
Corey works for me.
And he's on Facebook. Does he work for Facebook? No.
She just does all my. She's my social media pro.
Got it.
All right. So what stories do you hear about or the issues that these elders face, actual from the horse's mouth? What kind of things are going on over there? The horror stories, the good stories, the happy ending stories?
Well, actually, one uplifting story that I enjoyed reading about and participating in, a woman's car broke down. One of the members' car broke down. And she was in a hurry to get to work. She had her two dogs with her in the car, and the car broke down. So she was like, oh, my God, here I'm stuck in traffic. I can't, my car won't work, blah, 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 and the whole scenario. So what was interesting, people, members asked, well, where are you? And, of course, she said exactly where she was, and one of the members replied, I live just 5 minutes away. I'm coming to help you.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And that's what happened. It was fabulous.
Great. Awesome. See, I think that there should be some organized way for seniors without siblings or children or whatever to be able to get to know each other, have their own little network or community that they can call on, whether it's to just have people to communicate with or people who might be able to help you when you're in need. And I know that there are some groups where there are young people who volunteer to visit and to like adopt a grandparent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, we've got a lot of people on the Facebook page making comments. I forgot to list the phone number if they want to call in and ask a question. Do you have
your
email?
What are the comments?
I'd rather find the phone number and post it. That way they can. I can only do one thing at a time.
Well, in our group, we have now subgroups for different cities.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And I have a group in Dallas, for example, mm-hmm. and there's about 60 of us. And one of the members has taken it upon herself to create a list for medical rides. So if someone needs to go, for colonoscopy or whatever medical test that the doctor won't let you drive to, then one of us will volunteer to help.
They can't because you need someone to go with you, or they won't do the
exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. That's right. Exactly. Yeah. So these are the kinds of things that we've started. We meet for lunch. We meet for dinner. We have classes on Medicare. We do a variety of things depending on what the members.
That's great.
Want. Yeah.
So that you initiate face-to-face groups, or people start them because they meet people online, or it's organic?
People initiate them themselves. I encourage it.
That's great.
Membership. Yeah, I encourage it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So, that's very important.
We have about 30 subgroups now. We even have a group for solo travelers, one for, relocating.
Mm-hmm.
If people want to relocate, they can ask questions about where you live, things like that. So, I'm hoping I get, hoping that Facebook, nominates me or nominates our group to do a membership site. I would like to kind of move forward with that.
Yeah.
Is that what they call it, a membership site?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I see.
Right.
Well, how do you plan on taking care of you if and when you are so alone that you need somebody?
I've thought through that. And that was the reason I moved to the urban area, because I lived in a two-story home in the suburbs. And I realized this isn't going to work for me because one day I'm going to stop driving. So I need to get into an area where I'm close to shopping, and I'm very active. So I walk to most of my errands. I walk my errands.
How old are you?
67.
67? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's still young. Keep walking, because if you don't use it, you lose it.
I know, and my doctor keeps telling me, you better not stop walking.
Yeah. So I don't want. I'm planning on moving, and I'm, you know.
Are you?
Yeah.
Where do you live?
I live in Manhattan, so there's a lot going on. I want to make sure that I move to a neighborhood where there are people. I've lived in places that. Even though it's in the middle of Manhattan, it's pretty isolated. You don't get to know your neighbors. They're so busy. You have to find a population that you fit with, the stores and all the things. Do you have any kind of a checklist of things that you need to consider when relocating, or when do you need to relocate?
Well, I can just walk you through my own process. However, we do, you know, talk about these things, and that's really all kind of on a personal basis in terms of what's your criteria. You know, for me, mine was looking at my entire life, and am I able to take care of myself, and how's the best way to stay healthy? So number one, I look at my how am I eating? What am I eating healthy foods? So about 6 years ago, I changed to a plant-based diet. Mm-hmm. And then I looked at my living situation. Do I have neighbors? Living in the suburbs really isolated me. I didn't want to be car dependent anymore. So it really depends on what your factors are. I mean, I would love to move back to California, but I couldn't afford it. So I had to do the next best thing, and that is stay where I am or move to an urban area, and that's what I did. I moved close to downtown Dallas, it's a fabulous area. I'm smack dab in the middle of everything that I need. I'm close to centers, and so
you're smart. Good job. We're gonna take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about some other ideas that other people can do if they find themselves already in this situation, if it's too late, you know, and they waited too late, or they weren't like you looking in advance. So don't go away, we'll be right back.
Welcome, caregivers. Thank you so much for finding your way to our community of loving and supportive caregivers. We as caregivers understand and know the day-to-day feelings of guilt, fear, and loneliness. But guess what? There is hope. I, Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, along with my team of experts and caring caregivers, have made this site just for you. We are a community of caregivers that understands and supports you wherever you are in your journey. We are a place to connect with other caregivers, but more importantly, a place to get practical, actionable help. There are lots of ways for you to get support. First of all, you can download our welcome pack. This will get you started on your Thrive journey. Next, you can ask and get answers to your questions by posting them here in our private Facebook groups. You can also get live online support by attending one of our live weekly Connect webinars. You can get practical, actionable advice by listening to our weekly podcast. You can hear and read other stories about other caregivers' experiences. Plus, add your own in our weekly Share Your Story forum, posted every Tuesday in the Facebook group. You can access essential resources and download practical Thrive Solutions packs, all of which are geared to help you thrive as a caregiver. We know funds are tight, so we offer all of our individual Thrive Solutions packs. Or for even a better deal, you can get lifetime access to all of our resources. Again, we are here to support you and help you thrive and to enjoy your life as a caregiver. And remember, this is a place to get hope, not just cope.
And we're back with Adrian Gruberg and Carol Marek. And I hope I'm saying that right now.
You are. Great.
It's the second time I said it right. So what can others do who find that it's too late? They waited too long, and now they're, you know, it's they're alone. Sometimes they've fallen, and they couldn't get anybody to help them for a day, and you know,
that's tough.
They couldn't go to the bathroom. They had to pee on the floor until someone finally found them, you know, and they had a close call. What do they do?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, I got a lot of tough ones.
Yeah, you know, the first thing I would do if I was in that situation is call the Area Agency on Aging or the Department of Aging and to find talk with your local ombudsman.
I don't know what that is. What is that if there's others who don't know what that is? Oddsmans?
An ombudsman.
Ombudsman. It's a long-term care. Well, it's an individual that works at the Area Agency on Aging and in the state programs, the Department of Aging, that really oversees nursing homes. And they can also, you know, help the elderly who are in dire need. We have a friend of mine has a friend that he was suffering a great deal. He was an elder orphan, 82, lived in an upstairs apartment, and he had fallen a couple of times and was in the situation exactly that you're talking about. And I connected him with the local ombudsman here, and she helped out a great deal and got him into a nursing home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, China had this during the 60s and the 70s, you know, one child per family. And they were doing that for what seemed to be logical reasons for population growth and all of that. But now I heard from when I was in Hawaii, they had an expert on aging from Washington, D.C., and they were saying that they've now taken a second look at that philosophy because it might
have
solved one problem, but it opened up the door to another problem. Now all those families who only had one child are elderly now. And that one child is not able to take care of them as if they had three or four children who could all pitch in, you know. So they solved one problem but caused another problem.
Yeah. You know, and another thing, if you have a faith organization, it's
churches,
important.
Yep.
Synagogues. Churches, synagogues, you know, reach out to
That's what they're meant to do. That was their original purpose, you know.
I mean,
and then the government got involved and screwed it all up.
Do you know, I know in New York there's Meals on Wheels, and I believe that there are most major cities, but there are other programs that are like that. Do you put people in touch with those kind of resources?
Yes, we are constantly. Well, you know, what's so wonderful about the Facebook group is members don't depend on me, they depend on each other.
Right.
And what's wonderful about, absolutely, we are always, I mean, we are the most savvy people when it deals with growing old. We have, I mean, we had to because we were alone for so long. We've had to create our own solutions, and we have, and I'm telling you, yes, absolutely. We share wonderful resources.
And it's a community that will help each other.
Across.
I mean, even though they may not be across the street, you know.
Yeah, they come on
it's
Facebook.
It's really wonderful.
They ask a question. They get an answer. They know what to do, or at least get advice and tips on how to handle something. Mm-hmm. And what's most important is almost every member, when they join, they say, oh, my gosh, I'm not alone.
Right.
You know, and they really feel that they finally have met other people like them.
Right.
Like mine.
How long have you had the group, and how many are in it, and how do you look for new people to join it?
Well, well,
just
let's
one
see.
At a time okay. now. How long have okay. you had the group?
2.5 years. It's two okay. and a half years old. We yeah. are close to 9,000 members.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm.
How do I get – I don't look for people. I look for journalists who will write articles about
That's good.
How many of those 9,000 people are active?
There's about 2,500 are very active.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Very good. Okay. Well, how can we contact you if people want more information or want to know how they can join or talk
sure,
to you?
Sure, yeah. You can contact me via email, mm-hmm. right? I have a website called Carol Marak, and that's CarolMarak.com. My email address is carebuzz, CareB as in boy, UZZ at gmail.com. And you can also go to the Facebook, you know, go to Facebook, look for Elder Orphans, and when you find us, just you can either PM me if you want or try to join the group. Answer the questions. There are three All questions right. you have to, you know, pass.
Make
pass.
Sure you check out elderorphans.care at GoDaddy. That'd be a good one to forward to your website. Adrian, how do we get a hold of you?
Adrian, A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E, at thecaregiverspace.org. And from thecaregiverspace.org, which is the website, you can find all the social media platforms on the site.
Cool. Now, you have a blue hue to you today, Adrian. That's not how you really look, right? There's something
no,
blue in the air.
I
would tell
in,
you to go to a doctor if you did.
I'm in Fire Island, and I'm sitting in a room that's quieter than the other room. I would have gone outside, but there is an infestation on the island of Asian tiger mosquitoes.
Ooh,
and we don't
nasty.
Know why. They're not native to Fire Island, but it's horrible outside. So I'm sitting here, and it's getting shadier and shadier as we're on the air.
Oh,
so I don't have a light on
right.
me.
Yeah, because it's 5 o'clock there. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I won't tell that. I won't tell that bad Asian joke that I was going to tell because they would accuse me of being racist, and I'm talking about Asian mosquitoes or something. All right, let us say goodbye. My contact information is caregiverdave.com, and it's simple to get there. I'm a caregiver, and I'm Dave, so that's all that you need to get a hold of me, and we have a membership website, and everything is there, all in one place, one-stop shopping. So hope to see you again, Facebook Live, next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and on our other 13 platforms, it will be taped playing tomorrow. So we'll see you again, and bye-bye. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani.